No, I have a sort of class involved in hopefully you can have that. Like in the third and fourth class.
Get the blood flowing in the stretch and cough on your neighbor.
Exactly. It's not just routine, it's just not from there to the doctor. If he says, from the beginning of class, the end of class, guarantee there will be distraction, your legs will begin to hurt, your mind will begin to wander. This allows you to have blood flow to your extremities, to reorganize, recalibrate your thinking, so you can focus on the next class. And as we cough on your neighbor, so much the better. Better meet you and go through with those shits.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once more for allowing us to come here today and to learn more about you, to listen to your word. Pray that you be with each one of the speakers today as they go through their lessons. Remind them of what it is that you put on their hearts to teach us. And help us to keep our hearts and minds open so that we can learn more about you and be prepared to go out into the world and to face whatever it is that comes our way. Father, I thank you for forgiving me of my sins and for my salvation. I pray that we all walk away today knowing you and loving you a little bit more as you think that you love me. Because if you just thank you, keep me real. That is all it is. Thank you.
Representative means like Father, Ben, Holy Spirit, God.
It's a one of unity and harmony. That's same as one of you. That's concerning yourself.
One of the things here, one of unity and harmony. Unity and
harmony. Well, Jonathan, you're here.
What do you got to do there?
See,
God damn, where is the color of the line?
Turn down.
We're going to miss any one more.
No.
Well, I mean, I was like, John's on the body. She's
been messing with the spirit.
Okay, we're going to the spirit. Do you mind hanging around the spirit?
Jump.
You got it? What's that?
So, I was looking at this the other day, Acts 5.
Thank you for sharing your personal study, Philip.
But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan build thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and see back part of Christ's land while the remaining was not the him? After soul was it not in their own power, why is that conceived the thing? Be in thine heart, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God, calling the Holy Spirit of God.
Oh, so we got the Holy Spirit of God. So we got verses that say that the Father and the Son are one, but you know, or sure, but he's not looking at any part of one that are his. So we got Father and Son as one, but we got the Holy Spirit. No. Give me a verse that puts all three of them together.
That's John 5.
So what is that?
First John 5:7.
So out here in 3 was a change of. We got all three of them present doing this, doing things to unit. So we need that word that unites them all together.
Okay.
First John 5:7. Let's read it.
And there are three that bear record in count the Father's word, how full of ghost and spirit to anyone.
Okay, there you go. These three are one. These three are one. Oh, by the way, how do we know the word is Jesus?
First John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 3.
First John what? Well,
first John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And then John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
So,
okay, there you go.
So, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, this is where so many so-called Christians go off the rail, end up with some syndrome, We can't define them in spreading. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it means to be one. Their personality. What does it mean to be one?
I'm just sure.
It's really an arrogant question.
Yeah, unity and harmony.
What does it mean to be in harmony? What does it mean to be in harmony?
Total agreement.
Total agreement. Why do we use the word harmony? Anybody ever hear it say anything? You did that many months ago. What happens when you say?
People leave and you're out of the school.
Well, if you're like me, you're specifically out of the school. But everybody else, and we've done the experiment many times, have two people saying, and what do they do?
End up in the same place.
They end up on the same note. They're hitting harmony. They're coming into agreement. What one it means to be in unity and harmony, being a great teacher. Now the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit are one. Now where it becomes difficult to express this, because our finite minds have difficulty grasping this, quite a way before we follow with that thought. Are there any examples that God gave us of individuals, not personalities? We're not talking Sybil under 16 personalities here. Did God give any other examples of individuals being one?
Typical being Psalm 31 and Genesis 2:24 and then.
Okay, what are those verses talking about? Why did we even enter there?
For this cause shall a man and his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
Okay, so you have husband and wife. Husband and wife. Two individuals, being one. Is there any other example? Did you have a helper?
You don't have
a helper. You got a loser. Brother Andrew just made Brother Jared shine.
Brother Jared went,
yeah. She's been in the scripture. And he went, oh, yeah.
She's going to be a chapter, not that scripture.
Now you're tearing down.
1 Corinthians 12:12.
For as the body is one and hath many members, all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is also Christ. The church itself.
The church itself. The church itself. When you joined church, did you lose your ability to think? Did you lose your opinion? Amazing. Now, you know what these are going to do?
Another one, and I was reminded of this when you were saying that, Genesis 11, building the Tower of Babel, the statement by the Trinity is that these people are one. And that if we don't, and part of why they had to confound their language was they can do whatever, they're working together, they're in unity, they can do whatever their mind says to do if we don't disrupt their unity.
Excellent. The world has taken this idea of unity, of oneness, and they have replicated perfectly works. Anybody watch sports? every single sport, whatever the game is, if it has more than one player, golf, there's a few other swimming and single sporting events, but anything that has more than one player on a side, they are looking for unity, harmony. I got amused last week, watched on TV, seeing one of the playoff games in football, and what amused me was the offense that got to the line, and all of a sudden, the defender, the tight end on the inside of the field, stepped back and went, and the wide receiver over there was going, and the tight end is going, and the wide receiver is going, okay. And what's happened was tight end is going, we're not unity, we're not harmonies, we don't have a play to run because you're not in the right place. So the wide receiver gets up there and he's the quarterback in the middle of this, the timeout.
Yep.
And the tight end is going, I can't believe this. He's having a fit. Why? Because there's a lot of money on the line, and the other guy on the other side of the field being an idiot. The world understands what unity and harmony is. They press for it. But God paid you an end for the most important institutions in the world. Marriage, surely. The two greatest institutions in the world. He made it in. And what's the model? Himself. And now, we're going to take some time here. And we're going to look at every single verse in the Bible
that deals with unity. So it makes us all here.
Psalms 1:30.
The Orion of the Troll.
Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Yeah, right.
By the way, this is the only verse in the Old Testament that talks about unity. The only word. And you know what that word means? It takes you a little bit of digging in thoughts to get it. But that word unity is one. Now, what does this verse say? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together in one. Isn't that nice? If you've ever been to a church that's not unity, you know how frustrating it is. When you got people walking in and having attitudes and being passive aggressive, sometimes openly aggressive. So what's God's desire? For the brothers to dwell together in unity. For the brothers to dwell together. Now let's see how far we can get with some more of these verses. Look at Ephesians chapter. Brother Alex, would you read verse 3 for us?
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Jesus.
Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Does unity happen automatically?
Well, that's not for us.
Not for us.
Not without diligent labor.
Diligent labor.
Since such a man did such a wonderful job of being helped, we really did.
I shall now pay for
her. That's it.
Yeah. When you got married, did you notice it was instant harmony? That there was no getting used to anything of picadillos and teapots, but adjourned to the family. So it was probably just as smooth and it was just, wow. No, no, no. Was it a little bubbly at all? Were you surprised at some of his behaviors and habits?
You keep talking like it's past tense.
I am an attorney, so I can't. I usually see things when it all goes bad. Surprisingly, people don't make appointments for me and come in and go, we just wanted to come in and see. Really?
Not that, counselor.
Got fired.
So we have pastoral negligence. We can do something with this. So what did you discover?
We have different ideas about a lot of things, and it's like, it's good, but they think so.
Really? You have different ideas? So you have to actually endeavor to keep the unity. You have to endeavor.
I don't have idea of words at all.
You do too? You too have to endeavor to keep the unity?
Yes.
You mean you both have to endeavor to keep the unity? Anniversary again. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Don't you like it when you're holding the peace?
Yes.
No, I'm really going to push the angle here. Have you guys ever had an argument?
Yes.
Well, did you notice the unity there?
Thank you.
The harmony?
Yes.
Yes. So harmony and peace.
We endeavor to get peace.
You endeavor. It doesn't happen to each other. You have to endeavor. So that's in a marriage. What about a church? Does every member always get along with every other member? No. And every church member has to endeavor to be in the unity. So one.
I remember is right in God. So even if I'm attempting to keep unity amongst the brethren, if I'm not right with God, I won't succeed. I have to be right with God.
Oh.
Spirit, keep unity.
Oh, hold that thought. We're going to come back to that.
Well, and that's why it's so important to have the doctrine that never changes. Because me with me or anybody else, any member together, that might be the only thing you have in common is the Word of God. You might disagree on literally everything else. That's why it's important to have the Word of God so that you can be in unity.
Wow. Take what Brother Rick said or what Brother Cameron said. Now, look at the very last verse, the only other verse in the Bible that talks about unity. Yes, there's only three of them. One in the Old Testament and two in the only other verse that deals with unity, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13.
So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of fullness of Christ.
Unity of the faith. What is that? Consistent of God. Communion of God, word, Brother Hopper.
Philippians 4, verse 2. I beseech Herodias and beseech Quintaichi that they be of the same mind and as well. Community of faith. And, you know, I think we can echo what Brother Cameron said, the voice said this, you know, as far as the church is concerned, how many of us would participate with one another without the Lord? Because of our carnal mind or our individuality, your unity is always going to be. So that being said, he's been confronted with trying to go off human into this world, some over here on the other side of the mountain. And when they get involved with us, there's a little bit of chip on their shoulder, and they say, y'all sound the same, though. That's what God wants.
Yeah.
But he wants us to sound the same in the Lord. If we're in unity with the Bible, we are all going to sound the same. When there's lack of harmony, there's issues there. It's designed for that.
Exactly right. In fact, how do you get the unity of the faith? Look back at verse number 11.
Ephesians 4:11.
Yeah, 11-13.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the wholeness of Christ.
So how do we get the unity in the church? How do we get the unity in
the church? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I ask you, you know, you choose another, and I think it was all self-denial about. Free and give the every thought to me, Jesus Christ.
Great. So he brings every thought to be obedient to Christ. Now, how do you know what Christ would have you think?
Yeah. But the mass members here about anger in the spirit of God, their feelings are so weak, they can't know that their spiritual discernment is here. The spirit of the all good, and even though it doesn't know me, it will know the mind of the Lord, and he may accept it, so we have our mind God.
So I have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus' name, and by the way, the Holy Spirit,
you all say, you're welcome.
You watch, I'm not aware of
it. What is off at all?
That Holy Spirit is open. Why did he laugh? You mock at God. You laugh at your God. Why am I to your ass? Why do you continue to laugh? You're chuckling. I'm dead. Holy Spirit, fuck. You doubt that I can do this.
Jesus, like, yes.
You're drunk in chat.
2 Timothy 3:16-17.
What about that?
All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished on all good works. We don't need the Holy Spirit talking to us one-on-one because the only thing that's meant with perfect and complete is the Word of God. So if it's not the Word of God, then you got voices in your head.
That's interesting. Interesting. Present you take. But did he not speak to man in small, still voices?
But
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2.
Remember?
That's right. Right.
So you got John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. And that stopped there.
Really, he's great. John made a rich
whatsoever I said. So if it was not the Word of God, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, and you can't find $100 in the Word of God, Jeremy.
You guys are struggling to feel hard and really good. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 13? We have to do with anything.
Just come back. Can't really read that.
So you're going to set on the important verses and go with the
name. I want to find anything there.
Name all of it. So you're saying
you're still in suffering.
1 Corinthians 13:10-11, 12-13. So when that which is perfect is done, and that which is in part shall be done away. Now the child that spake as a child, that understood as a child, that thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in parts, but I shall know because also I am known. And now by faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the grace of these maturity. We had Spirit, Holy Spirit spoke to people and all that things until the word of God was completed. We no longer needed that. When it was in part, we needed help. Now the completed word of God is here, and we don't need those spiritual gifts. They're gone. They're done away with because we have the completed word of God.
Okay. Now flip back to Ephesians 4. Powerfully right. So how do we get the unity? How do we get the unity of the faith? How do we know what the faith is? How do we get the unity of it?
Word of God. Study to show themselves.
Study to show yourself approved. What did he do for the church? Look back here to Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting, what does that mean? The maturing, the completing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come in the unity of the faith, the oneness, the agreement of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature, complete man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To what end? That ye henceforth be no more children, taught to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Turns out Brother Kitchen was giggling at me when I said he owed me $100. Church told me, why is he giggling? Because he's grounded. I know that's giggling word, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't need it.
That's Richard Christian couldn't wait to. And he found it in the verse 14, that you henceforth be no more children. Taught to and thrown. Carried about with every wind of God. By the sleight of men. And cunning craft is whereby they lie in wait. This unity appears when we all grow in the words of God. That's the important thing. Those are the three verses in the old unity. Now back up here at the beginning of chapter 4. Endeavoring to keep the unity of faith of the Spirit. You look at verses 1 and 2. How do we endeavor? Yeah, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. First of all, it is incumbent on every church member to walk with God. He called you to walk worthy of that calling. You were baptized to walk in newness of life. Walk in that newness of life. We're going to have a problem if one of us doesn't walk in that vocation that we were called. We're going to have a problem. If I'm doing my own thing, but I'm still attending church doing all the functions, but I'm doing whatever I want, sooner or later it's going to become obvious I'm out of step with the Lord and I'm out of step with the church. What's that?
Church of Ephesus and Revelation.
Church of Ephesus and Revelation. Excellent. Now, how are we to walk? With all lowliness and meekness. Forbearing, or with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. With all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering. Forbearing one another in love. And then let me keep you here with a fair job. With all willingness, meet him, long suffering. Are we to treat each other kindly? So that's the calendar. So how do you get this one with unity? How do you endeavor to keep unity? How do you keep this oneness? With all willingness, remember what Jesus said? Well, look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2 of chapter, to fill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then we get to explain how much she was willing to forbear, esteem others better than himself. When it came to the purpose of God's plan of salvation, one of them had to suffer and die. And Jesus said, I'll take that. Because I love the Jew, Father, I love you, said in grace. I'll be right. I chose it. Let nothing be done to strive for vain glory, but in lowliness of minds, let each esteem other better than God. Have you ever sacrificed yourself for someone else? Took a blunt of something for someone else? That's what Christ did in the Father of the Spirit. And for us, and as church members, what are we supposed to do?
That's all we need.
Called that?
Do it for one another.
Do it for one another. Esteem each other better than themselves. You don't look after your own thing. You don't look after your own thing. So what happens to
it's not much time yet. That's the first bill.
That's the first bill. Just a second.
That's it.
So what happens to, we got a new vacuum cleaner, and here's the old vacuum cleaner.
Sure.
Leftover. What happens to the unity? What happens to the spirit? What happens to the London?
Second best is good enough.
Second best is good enough. Here's the honest fact. Watch how people move. They will betray their heart. Every single time. Don't watch the lips. The lips will say a lot of stuff. But the heart will show itself through action. It's a great swelling word, but he never carries it out. He's lying. He may have great intentions, but he said that's not where his heart is. He has no intention of fulfilling.
A little bit of a rabbit. First Corinthians 12, when God places the membership in the body as the pleases him, you have to submit to that. That's God's will, that you're part of that body. Some of the stuff that you deal with as a pastor and even, you know, church members trying to stay in this harmony is, I'm my own person. I'm different from this, I'm that. Well, you haven't submitted to God.
Because there's no way that a church can be in harmony if they haven't first given over to the Lord and his will. Because that's what all this stuff, I mean, this passage here in Philippians, Christ was obedient to death. I mean, a sacrifice. You got to give up self and do what God wants you to do. And I don't know why this is such an odd thing or a struggle for some, but God does want his church members to speak the same thing, to think the same thing, to behave the same way. But that's all in reflection of Christ. That shouldn't be a pride issue, but it is. And submission to the Lord is big.
Exactly right. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you for saying it. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brothers, be pitiful, be courteous. Like we are not of the world. Be courteous. So those are the simple things to do. And get out of my way, I'm the one here. We laugh. Watch what happens around doors in your church building tomorrow. There'll be some that will hold the door and step aside. There'll be others just to run through. There'll be some that will stop and shake hands and hug. Others will be going, I'm too good. Time going through. Never offering to be courteous. Never offering to be pitiful. Or to be graced by their presence and lucky to have them there with us. We are to be of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Would you race by somebody you love? Would you make sure you didn't get around somebody you love? Would you be sure to spend some time? Our feet betray our heart. Did you want that party down here? Oh, nobody knows. I'm putting on a good show. Yes, you are. It's a really good show. But those that know the word, that school to the word, can let you know that individual needs prayer. That individual needs a lot of prayer. Because they're not in unity of spirit. They're not even strong before. And what's worse is it thanks to others. A little bit of living a full life. Be courteous, kids. Reveal the simple things. Well, I haven't missed services. Yeah. Good point. How many services have you been present at? What does that mean? That you wasn't doing the other thing. So by the way, it's really fun now to have phones in the church replacing your old-fashioned print Bible. And what's really fun is you forget the people in the back can see on your screen. Because you start with, I'm in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the next time people behind you look, you go, what's auto trader got? And then the real, the thumb was given away, Really? Luke chapter 4, what are you doing? Bringing it out? Feeling chaff? Well, I've got a text message I had to respond to. Say, get out of church. This is God's time. Turn your phone off. This is God's time. Be pitiful, be courteous. What? Be mindful of these things. You know, we endeavor to have the gift of the Spirit. Be wise. Trying to be together. Go like it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So you want to sing with me?
I got it. Right? If you're standing there before your clients, you have your phone on.
No, in fact,
you're present with the people that you're in.
In fact, it doesn't come to me, it goes to my secretary because they have my time divided.
You should be saying, obviously, at church, how about when you're interacting a Bible study? How about when you're having a
sentence? You're seeing your secretary.
There's nothing that important on the phone.
Cheating.
If there is, then go to 10 church and deal with your eyes. What? I'm supposed to be in church. Yeah, but if you can't be in church, don't be a hindrance to everybody else around you.
But the doctrine is, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. It's not just going to church. You're in the presence of Jesus Christ, God, the Spirit.
That's the point, isn't it? We forget what the real point of our coming together is. It's not that we get to hang out and swap stories over the recent events of the week and what we're going to do and who's got this and can I get some, you know, business for that and can I arrange for another hunting trip and talk about the greatest thing I saw in the news and all this stuff. And we're assembling to be in the presence of God Himself. Wow. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now, I beseech you, brother, there we go, beseeching again, begging and pleading, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Could it be odd that we all sound alike? No. That you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, for that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And what is that judgment? The Word of God. So what are we supposed to speak? The Word of God. What are we supposed to have our mind joined together in the same mind? What is that supposed to be?
Yes.
What that's
in the mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ. In the Word of God. So what's the end result? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse number 28. Brother BJ and I were talking about this last night. Brother Allen, you're almost down my tradition. Verse 28.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
What's the effect? We're all one in Christ Jesus. Why did the church end up with deacons?
There were some members feeling neglected.
And who was feeling neglected?
Widow.
And who's widow?
Our inside church.
Those inside the church?
They are with the same husband as such.
Women? For this?
I said with deceased husbands.
With deceased husband? Yeah. Look at Acts. Hold your finger. It's Gentile. What's that?
The Gentile.
The Gentiles. Look at the text chapter 10.
There's one of the Jews and the Gentiles.
What is called? Say that again, Brother Ronnie.
Division between the Jews and the Gentiles.
When the church is an endeavor to keep the bond of peace, you're going to break down the way it naturally is. Look at verse number 1 here. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians. Who's Grecian? The Greeks. Greek members, that Brother Ronnie pointed out, the Gentiles. Against the Hebrews. They're all church members. It shouldn't be happening. Well, what's happening? Well, we begin to figure things out, don't we? What's happening in those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, there was a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Isn't this interesting? All the Hebrew widows get fed, and all of our Gentile widows are not. We got a problem. What's the problem? We begin to get a murmuring. A murmuring. And what was the solution? The Lord gave people to remedy the problem, so that the problem was handled in a spiritual manner. That everything was done. So what's the point? Back over in Galatians, that reader read that there is neither Jew nor Greek. We be brethren. Lot and Abraham, we be brethren. The only thing that's important in church is we be brethren. Not that we're family, not that we're blood, not that we're kin. We be brethren. That's what's important. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we are all one in unity in Christ. So what you discover in church, unless you've been raised in church, you don't know anything else. But if you come in from the world in a church, you go, this is the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. Because I don't fit in, but I do fit in. Brother Roger and I, out in the world, would probably never communicate with him because we come from a vastly different world. His country, I'm saying. But there's nobody closer to me than Brother Roger. Why? Because we're endeavoring to keep a line of feet. We're both striving to follow the Lord. And it's amazing, when you're both striving to follow the Lord, you'll turn around and look at somebody that you can say, hey, in another place, we wouldn't have anything in common. But in this place, we have all in common. But BJ, he's still wearing red. I'm back to blue. Pray for him. He graduated Thurston. I know some of you have the similar reflection. I went to Springfield. I should Springfield. There's only two schools in the city. Hated, awful, rival. So we joke and laugh about it. I'll wear red for him, he'll show up with blue pink. Because that really don't matter, but in the world it does. He do. So here, I'm not Jew, I'm a Greek. We're all one in Christ as a unity. Oh, that explains the Trinity, doesn't it? It's not that hard to understand. The stand that's loving on the God. Up to the news. We'll have to go down here, so let's go with the team. We do nothing.
Father, thank you so much for this school. Thank you for allowing all of us to be here this morning. And pray that you would bless all the teachers and please just guide us for the remainder of the class to have a good understanding of the scriptures as we go forward. Please help us to not just hear these things, but live by them. And would you ask that you help all of our churches to be better, that the members would truly have fellowship with one another and you and your doctrine. Thank you for providing us with the food. And please trust to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And thank you above all for what our Lord Jesus has willing to do for us. In his name that I pray the same.
So yeah, they said for the
moment. Well,
it's really probably have to time.
We're going to apologize. Thank you for saying, thank you for the opportunity to be here to have these classes, have the men prepare themselves to teach these classes and just be with us that each one that's here will get in your word and not take anybody's word for it, but see what you would have us to do and learn more about you, about your love for us and Christ and his New Testament church. And just be with those who are in need of your healing hand, that you may intervene, that your power may be demonstrated, that through the trials and tribulations that are going on, that lost souls might come to know you and those that have walked away might come back. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, we'll reiterate some point made last night regarding the hand, but I wanted to really reiterate this.